Welcome back to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office on sort of episode two of our reboot, if you will, talking through the Christian Reformed Church position statements. Last week we talked about abortion, which is a very difficult, sensitive topic. Today, not much easier. We're talking about the Christian Reformed Church's position statement on abuse.
Right. Probably not a terribly divisive topic, though. I think probably all of us will be in agreement in terms of how the church and how we should view abuse, right?
Yep. Pertinent because of the compounding sexual abuse allegations in churches around the country and around the world.
Yeah, obviously the most publicized, it's a lot of years ago now already, but, you know, the Catholic Church kind of hit the Catholic Church first with all of these abuse allegations and proof of abuse. But it certainly seems like it's become more widespread or perhaps more widely exposed.
Yeah, which the exposure, I think, is a good thing.
A very good thing.
That the sin has come to a light and we can address ways to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
But certainly concerning and disheartening that that kind of thing happens in the church and by church leaders, people in authority.
Sure.
Anyways, there two paragraphs again. Maybe we'll take it a paragraph at a time. There's not much to say about the first paragraph. The second paragraph, again, is a little bit more practical, the same as we did last time, so we'll do it that way. It begins, "Abuse is a sin against the biblical directives that govern human actions and relationships. It is striking evidence of the misery that pervades human life as the result of sin. The failure of men and women and of adults and children to relate to each other in a biblically healthy, affirming manner is the root cause of abuse."
I guess one thing to mention about that first paragraph is that, you know, as we led in, obviously we were referring to sexual abuse, but really our worldview regarding any kind of abuse should be the same. There's, you know, there's not, there shouldn't be allowances made anywhere for abuse for Christians. And so we're talking about physical abuse, which I guess sexual abuse would be kind of a unique part. Subset of physical abuse, but also also emotional abuse as well. It happens in churches. You know, it happens more frequently than you think, based on the different personalities that are at play on different committees and in different situations. And so I guess I'd like to address the broader spectrum of abuse in this.
Well, the spotlight has been shown on the sexual abuse that occurs in the church.
And that's, in a sense, the most heinous, right?
Of course. We can't neglect to address that emotional abuse, a physical abuse, abuse of power just in general.
Sure.
In the home and in church and in business settings. I mean, any time that you're a person who's using your skills or your power in any situation to enforce your will or your desires on someone else, that's an abuse in some sense. And all of that is wrong. And it's not a biblically healthy way of relating to one another.
Right. And so, you know, I guess now that we've broadened, you know, broadened the spectrum a little bit with regard to a position on abuse, now we'll probably narrow it back down a little bit with the second paragraph. Am I right?
Yep. So it says, "Church councils should publicly acknowledge that the sin of abuse exists, even in churches, and should take positive steps to make their congregations safe for all persons. They should support efforts to address abuse promptly so that the abused and the abusers may experience the healing power of God's grace, should become aware of the laws and procedures applicable in their areas, and should create continuing education opportunities for church leaders to become informed and sensitive about abuse issues. They should also adopt procedures to deal immediately and decisively with situations in which a person in a position of authority or influence in the church is alleged to have committed abuse. Synod has encouraged all classes of the CRC to establish abuse response teams, also known as safe church teams." That gets into the more practical things. It talks about creating a safe environment, and maybe it would be worthwhile to talk here in podcast form about the ways that our church tries to create a safe environment for all persons.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, Zach and I, as ministry leaders in the church, we meet with a lot of different people, and a lot of times we meet with people at the church. You know, there are times when we're meeting with people at the church when no one else is here. I mean, usually we try and coordinate so there is, you know, other people at least on the premises.
Yeah, in the building.
'Cause that's just a way of safeguarding. But we also have cameras in the church, and when I do meet with people individually, oftentimes I'll meet in a public area.
Yeah.
Just to have that record.
Yep.
You know, just to have that kind of accountability.
Mm-hmm. And the public areas are filmed in our church.
Right. You know, meeting with someone in the eyes of a camera.
Yep.
Right. So, yep. Any other way that you safeguard yourself?
It's safe church policy to have windows in every door.
Ah, yeah.
So all of our offices, all of our classrooms have windows. Nurseries have windows. We've been having discussions at our church about how to make our nurseries even safer with different ways of checking in. We moved my office in the last couple of years. I used to have an office in the youth house, and I was alone over there in that house, and that just wasn't a healthy environment to be meeting with students, so we moved me over to main campus, if you will, here, which again has the security cameras and other people in the building, and just safer, more oversight, which we welcome, of course. We have background checks for all of our student ministry volunteers. They agree to safe church policy. We don't bring students home in vehicles one-on-one. So if I've had a student who was going to walk home and it was raining and said, could I get a ride, then two leaders go together and bring the student home.
Yeah.
Things like that. Just so that students are never alone with adults in sort of closed,
sure,
closed places.
The other thing I've gotten better about, and I think when I got into ministry 5 years ago or so, I didn't really think about this, but, and it's more a woman's perspective, not to, you know, paint with too broad a brush, but when I am meeting with somebody about something of a confidential nature, you know, I used to just assume we would go into my office and I would close the door.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if people were here, it's just a closed door type of conversation.
Sure.
And in the spirit of creating an atmosphere that not only is safe but feels safe, you know, when I am going to discuss something of a confidential nature with particularly someone of the opposite sex, I ask for permission to shut the door.
Sure. Sure.
You know, are you comfortable with this? And you know, it's just getting into that.
Agree upon the terms of the space.
Yeah.
It's a strange way of saying it.
And it's just being a little bit more thoughtful and intentional about it.
Yep.
And, you know, respecting you might think nothing of it, but somebody else, that might be a big uncomfortable thing to be in a closed room, right? So, yeah.
We've kind of narrowed in on sort of the physical nature of the space and being careful about abuse. Just sort of to mention one other way that you and I have talked before about being careful about abusing authority is in things like council meetings or staff meetings, and how we sort of throw our weight around a little bit. And that's kind of a crass way of saying it, but as employees of the church, employees of the council, our voice is given a lot of weight.
Right.
So we're careful in the ways that we direct the conversation so as not to sort of always get our way, if you will. I'm giving air quotes because, of course, there's always votes and stuff. But we're careful to make sure those conversations can happen in authentic ways and that we're not sort of always driving them in our own direction, because that's not healthy either. That's an abuse of authority.
Right. And that's a good mention. And that's where it's such a blessing to be able to be in ministry together, too, to have, you know, two ministry leaders in the church holding each other accountable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there are often times when we have a discussion before a meeting, if we know certain things that are going to come up, and, you know, how should we allow the conversation to kind of progress before we put our two cents in,
sure,
in essence, right?
Yeah.
So, that's well thought out.
Well, we know that abuse is another sensitive topic, and those of you who are all too intimately acquainted. We pray for you. We ask that, just sort of like we named last week, that you would take advantage of resources in this area or wherever you're listening that might offer therapy, counseling, and help for you. We want to be help for you if you've experienced abuse or even if you are an abuser and are looking for help. We're here for you. We thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode.